following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting. Father, we bow before you and thank you for the privilege to gather together this morning, to be here in the nice building you've given to us. Thank you for all the amenities that are here. We pray, Lord, this morning that our time together will be edifying, that our brother Bobby Vallette will help us to understand what's happening there in Uruguay and how they are ministering for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, and what we can do to support them in prayer and other ways. Father, we also pray for Kaylee this morning and all those that travel with her. We ask that you grant them safe passage all the way home to their final destinations, and we pray for safety in the air with the airlines and the airplanes and all that sort of thing with this recent accident that has occurred that we've just barely heard about. We just commit that to you. We pray, Lord, that the fruit of their labors will last long into the future, both on the field and in their own lives. We pray, Lord, for Dan and Karen and for the grief that they experience with the loss of Karen's father and all that is going on with regard to that, all the complexities of life and things that have to be done and all of that on top of the grief that is there because of the lost family relationship. And Lord, we pray that you will help them and encourage them all. We pray, too, for Dan's cousin. We thank you that he's a strong believer in Christ, but we pray in the midst of his suffering that you would give him grace to meet every part of the trial that he faces. And if it be in your will, Lord, that this experimental treatment would be very effective to reduce the symptoms and problems associated with the cancer. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're blessed this morning to be able to have Bobby and Nadia Vallette with us. They have not been at our church before, as I recall, certainly not in my tenure as pastor here. But we've known them from GMSA for a long while now. I don't know how many years. We've lost track of all that, but we've enjoyed their fellowship, enjoyed time together in the missionary conferences down in South America a couple of times when I was able to go there, and pastors' conferences and so on. So we are very glad to have Bobby here, and he's going to share with us a new aspect of their work that is going to begin here in their next term as they finish their furlough. Whenever the Lord allows that to complete, I just commend him to you and ask you to give good attention as he shares the message and the presentation this morning.
We'll start with the presentation.
Start with the presentation right away. Okay. All right, Duane, we'll have you show that, and then we'll go to the next part.
Uruguay is a small South American country wedged between Brazil and Argentina. Its citizens are entirely of European descent. Uruguay is the most secular country in Latin America. Over 35% of the population consider themselves to be non-religious, and less than 2% are self-proclaimed Catholics who attend Mass regularly. About 2% of the population describe themselves as evangelical, but the vast majority of them are charismatic. Class differences are far less noticeable in Uruguay than in most of Latin America. Its large middle class has been steadily shrinking in recent years. The unemployment rate is currently hovering at 10%, and many who are employed are not earning enough to cover their living expenses. Typically, everyone in the household works outside of the home to try to make ends meet. Just as many Americans cannot live without their coffee each day, Uruguayans cannot survive without mate. It is a slightly stimulant tea with a bitter flavor, made of crushed herbs of yerba mate. The herbs are placed inside of a wooden gourd and drunk with hot water through a metal straw. You will be offered this drink anytime you go visit someone. Another basic food for people in Uruguay is asado, or beef on the grill, which contributes to the fact that, on average, a person consumes between 130 and 220 pounds of beef per year. Lastly, we have the chivito. The easiest way to describe this traditional plate is a heart attack on a bun. Let me share with you some interesting facts concerning this small country. Over half the country's 3.3 million people live in the capital city, Montevideo. In Uruguay, cows outnumber people 4-1. It is a nation of 12 million cattle, but just 3 million people. A gallon of gas costs $7. In 2009, Uruguay became the first country in the world to provide every school child with a free laptop and Wi-Fi access. Uruguay has one of the highest literacy rates in the world, with 98.1% for adults. This is largely thanks to Uruguayans' access to free and compulsory education. In 2012, a bill was approved by its Senate to legalize abortions during first trimester pregnancies. The same-sex marriage union was also approved the same year. In December 2013, Uruguay became the first country in the world to legalize the production, sale, and use of marijuana. 7 out of every 10 marriages end in divorce. This causes the family unit to become very dysfunctional or often non-existent. Uruguay has the highest rate of suicide in Latin America. These and many other facts speak to us about the urgent need that this country has to hear the good news of the gospel. Bobby grew up as a missionary kid in Uruguay. During that time, the Holy Spirit instilled in his heart a deep love for this country and a heavy burden to reach those lost souls with God's wonderful gift of salvation. The first 5 years on the field, he worked with Andy and Colette Thompson in Colonia. After 4 years, the work was turned over to a national pastor. Some of Bobby's responsibilities included leading in the youth group, preaching and teaching God's word, soul winning, discipleship, leadership training, and counseling. This young couple, who is part of the youth group, are now making plans to get married shortly. Following a year of furlough, Bobby returned to Uruguay to live in the city of Xung, where one of his colleagues had started a Bible study and was looking for someone to attend to the small group of believers full time. During his 5 years of ministry in that city, they saw several people ask Christ to be their Savior, and 3 ladies who were approximately 75 years old got baptized in obedience to God's word. Aside from ministry responsibilities, he used his physical limitations to help authorities within the community to fix sidewalks, install ramps, and any other equipment necessary in order to help disabled people to have a better quality of life. This has also opened many doors of opportunity to share Christ on TV and the radio. God has used many of you to provide a gator as a safe and reliable mode of transportation. Your generosity has given Bobby a sense of independence, and it has been a great ministry tool that he has used to help and bless others. After several years of ministry in Xung, the Lord saw fit to bring into his life a beautiful young lady who loves the Lord and has prepared herself to serve him full time. In 2016, Nadia and Bobby were married, and they spent the first 6 months serving the Lord in the city of Xung. Nadia is the perfect complement for his life and for the ministry which God has given to them. During their time in the United States, they will be working on obtaining her citizenship and raising their support level now that there's 2 of them. Please pray that Nadia will be able to adapt quickly to a new culture and language, and to her new role as a wife in ministry. For the last year, due to many uncertainties concerning when they would be able to get the necessary visa in order for his wife to enter the U.S., they have been helping in 2 different ministries in the following areas: witnessing, teaching, preaching, discipleship, and counseling. God has used this time to strengthen their new marriage relationship and to prepare them for this time of their upcoming furlough. One of the areas of deep concern in their churches is the lack of biblically qualified leadership. Because of this need, they got together with several fundamental Baptist mission boards to form a Bible Institute called FEBU. This past December, they saw the first graduating class of 5 students complete their studies. Their church in Xung was able to financially support Gabriel Martinez and his family, who they pray will be the pastor of one of their churches sometime next year. Another exciting area of ministry is their camp ministry. During the year, they host teen camps, teen retreats, kids camp, family camp, and ladies and men's retreats. When they are not using the camp facilities, other churches of like faith and practice are able to rent the campgrounds. They have seen many come to Christ, many others restore their walk with the Lord, and some surrender their lives to full-time Christian service. Please pray that God would give them the finances needed to support such a ministry, especially in the winter months when the rainy weather makes it very difficult for people to want to rent their camp facilities. Upon their return to the field, Bobby and Nadia believe God is leading them to join missionaries Mariano and Becky Proto in their ministry, where they have begun to establish a new church in the city of Carmelo, Uruguay. Carmelo is a small tourist city of 19,000 people. Its residents are polite, but deeply rooted in traditions and Roman Catholicism. A small bridge connects one side of the city to the other. It is their desire to bring to them the message of the gospel and to provide a spiritual bridge that can reconcile their sinful condition with the Holy God through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Currently, they are excited about the possibility of trying to purchase a building that would be used as a place of worship and a church parsonage. Please pray that God would continue to provide the necessary funds for this project to become a reality. Would you consider how God can use you to be a part of this ministry through your fervent prayers and your financial support?
It's a privilege to be able to be here with you folks. As you can see, the Lord has been working in our life and in our ministry. I believe you all know Mariano Proto and his family. It's just neat to see the way the Lord has brought us together, and that we're excited about the possibility of working there and starting that new ministry and being a complement for Mariano and his family in the ministry there in Carmelo. So we definitely would appreciate your continued prayers for us in that regard. We did put some prayer cards in the back table there. If you would like to take that and pray for us, we would definitely appreciate your prayers for us. We are in the process of moving tomorrow to the Chicagoland area. We'll be there for the next 8 months or so, using that as a home base to see some of the churches in Indiana, Chicago, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. So that's kind of what we're doing, and we're praying that the Lord would help us raise the support that we need. Because of the type of visa that my wife can have, we do not have to wait the 2.5 years for her visa, her papers to get approved in order to go back to the field. If we get the support that we need, we can go back to Uruguay, and then once she's able to apply for citizenship, we can come back and do the ceremony if we need to do that. So just pray for us. We've been at it for 2.5 years trying to get her papers, and the Lord gave us her green card and stuff like that, so we're excited about that. And these things take time, and we just have to be patient. The Lord knows what He's doing, so we just have to trust in that as well. So, all right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at some things here. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity that You give us to be together. Thank You for each one of the people that was able to come, and we ask You that You would give us open hearts to hear from You this morning and to really understand the fact that You love us and You want to use all of us in different capacities for Your honor and glory. Help us to be open to serve You in the best possible way. Help us to be receptive to Your leading in our lives, and we ask You that You might guide us. We pray for those who are not feeling well today, that You might continue to be with them and uphold them in prayer so that they could be here very soon. And so we pray that You would guide our thoughts and direct them all to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what I wanted to do, I wanted to give you just a background of who we were and stuff. We're going to be, Lord willing, we'll be spending all day with you, so we just kind of wanted to give you an idea who we were and where we're coming from. And just to let you know, my wife, she's from Uruguay. Have you stand up and look back a little bit? There you go. Her name is Nadia, and as part of the tradition in Uruguay, when you greet somebody, whether it's to say hello or goodbye, and whether you're a guy or girl or boy or girl, she's going to give you a kiss on the cheek, so don't freak out. It's just the way it is. And so so just give you a little bit of a warning on that front. So, all right, what time do we need to be done by? 10:30. Okay, we're good. I just kind of wanted to give you a little bit of my testimony, along with a couple things from God's Word, so that you understand who we are. But at the same time, hopefully the message will be that you can understand that God can use all of us. I was born with my twin sister, Becky. Actually, we were barely born in New York. My parents were visiting somebody that they barely knew, and they were supposed to go out to dinner. And so they went out and had some spaghetti, and my mom was 6 months pregnant. And after that, she started having pains. She thought it was the spaghetti, and after a little bit, there we were. So she didn't even know she was having twins. I was not to be denied. So we were born, and my sister was born. She was born fine. And when I was coming out 4 minutes later, they think there was a lack of oxygen, that's what caused my condition called cerebral palsy. What it does, it affects my motor skills, mainly my arms and my legs. They said it doesn't affect my brain, but you'll be the judge of that. But we're grateful for what the Lord has done. And for the first month or so, my parents were able to go and look in through the window in an incubator, and that was it. And so they would have to go back to my grandfather's house in New Jersey after that. So that's how we started. And then after a while, you know, my parents went to Uruguay as missionaries when we were 9 months old. And so that's how our love for the country and everything else grew. And but they noticed that, you know, my sister would make attempts to get up and walk and stuff like that, but I wouldn't. So they kind of started to inquire about that. And that's when they took me to different doctors, and they found out that I had cerebral palsy. And so I had several different surgeries and stuff like that to help me with the flexibility and mobility. And at first they said that that I wasn't going to be able to walk. And then they said, well, maybe with crutches and other things. And so the goal was always and has always been to be independent. And so the Lord was very good to me in different ways. And the philosophy at home was, well, you know, you can try, and if we see that you can't do it, then we'll figure out a way that you can do it, but you need to try it for yourself. And so there was many, many times of frustration for me, but at the same time, there was many lessons to be learned that, you know, we're not going to get everything that we want the first time, and that we need to try things out for ourselves. And and the Lord was good in many ways. As I was growing up, things were, you know, interesting. Kids are very, very honest, and they're very inquisitive. And so many times what happens is that, you know, I'll be going into a store or something like that, and, you know, the kid is with the mom or something like that, and, you know, he's like, "Mommy, Mommy, what's wrong with him?" You know? And the mom's like, "Shh, you know." And so usually I try to take the time and I turn around and say, ma'am, can I talk to your son or your daughter? And after they pick up their jaw from the floor, they said, yeah, sure. And so, you know, I tell them, my name is Bobby, and I have cerebral palsy. What that means is I have, you know, problems walking and stuff like that, but nothing hurts, and everything's good, you know. And so, you know, then they'll ask you one or two more questions, and then they're like, cool, you know. So it's good because they understand, but you have to, like, do your best to answer their questions. I was in my home church in Chicago, and I opened it up. It was like third and fourth graders or something like that. And I opened it up for questions. And one boy, he's like, do you have a wooden leg? I said, nope. And he still wasn't convinced. So he's like, can I see? I'm like, sure. And so I went like this, and I put my pants up a little bit. He still wasn't convinced. And he said, can I touch? I said, sure, come on up. And so he touched, and he was like, cool. I said, yeah, they're just a little bit thinner than yours are, but we're good. And so after that, he understood that everything was fine. And you know what? And just because, you know, people are different doesn't mean there's something wrong with them and yet you're okay, or that you're something wrong with you and they're okay. We just need to learn to appreciate the differences in all of us. And I'm very glad that not everybody in the world is like me, because otherwise this would be a very boring place. We all have many different things to offer, problems. Mine might be a little more visible, I said, but we all have difficulties and challenges, and but we need to learn to get along and accept each other for who we are and for how God has made us. The Bible says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth very well. And so that was the one thing that my parents always instilled in me, that God doesn't make any mistakes. He made you and I just the way he wanted us to be. Some of us have to wear glasses. Some of us wear braces, whether it be in our legs or in our mouth or wherever. But we do have some challenges. Some people have asthma. Some other people have other things. But you know what? God knew what he was doing, and he made you just that way. And he has plans for you just the way you are. And so we need to be willing to listen and to obey God and let him work in our lives. You know what? It's amazing to me because, you know, just as little boys are inquisitive, adults sometimes can be a little bit naive in different ways. And so I went to a store one time, and they were getting ready to open the door for me. So I was ready to say thank you and everything. And I get to the door, and the guy looks at me and he goes, hello, how are you? And I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do with that. And so I looked at him and I said, fine, what's your problem? And then he understood that because I can have a physical limitation doesn't always mean that I have a mental one. Yeah, you might be right. I don't know. But for now, I think I'm okay. And so, you know, it's just interesting the way it works. But but the Lord, you know, shows us many different ways. And the Lord really helped me in many different ways. My parents did a great job in trying to help us understand all of this. And every time my brothers and sister would go out to play or to do whatever, it was never an option for me to stay home and feel sorry for myself. It was like, okay, we're going, let's go, you know. And it was just, that was just the way it was. And so we did all that stuff. And then as I was getting to be a teenager and stuff like that, you know, obviously things are a little bit different. You know, obviously you start realizing that there are girls around, and they realize that you're there. And I always tell people, I said, look, I'm not looking for a mom. I said, I already have one. And so I'm looking for anybody to feel sorry for me. And I feel that the Lord can give me somebody that will love me for who I am. And I can be the leader of my home just like I'm supposed to be. And so that was always a challenge. But I always thought, I felt that the Lord was leading me to go into the ministry. My parents did a good job in giving us opportunities as we were growing up in the youth group to lead different services or to prepare a devotional or to sing special numbers and other things that just kind of got us involved in the ministry. It was always a family involvement in the ministry. It wasn't like my parents are in the ministry and we're here. We're always involved as a family. And so the Lord gave us a love for him and for the ministry, for people as well. And so, and then, I got time to see what was I going to do for school and for the future. And so I had to come back to the States to do a final surgery there in Delaware. And one of the families that we know, they're from High Point Baptist Chapel in Pennsylvania. And he invited me to finish my junior and senior year of high school and live with them and stuff. And so, we talked it over with my parents and we said yes. And a week before school started, he was getting a doctorate in counseling. And so he finished, and then he got a job offer in Chicago. And so all of a sudden, I'm like calling my mom, and I'm like, "Hi, Mom, I'm in Chicago." And so she's like, "What?" And so that's just the way it worked out. And so I finished my junior and senior year over there in Schaumburg Christian School in Illinois. And then after that, I went to Northland Baptist Bible College. And the Lord did great things there in my life. And, one of the things was that I had made a profession of faith when I was 8 years old with my mom after Sunday school and a friend of mine, Sergio Duarte. But you know what? I got to college, and all of a sudden, Tom Farrell, an evangelist, he spoke one day, and he said, "If you can't remember the exact date and everything that you got saved, you might not be saved." And I'm like, "Oh, no, what's going on?" And so I said, "Okay." And so I went to talk to my soccer coach, Coach Phillips, and he said, "Let's do something, Mom." He goes, "I want you to read the book of 1 John for 1 week, and you come and tell me if you're saved or not." I said, "Okay." So that's what we did, and obviously we came to the conclusion that I was saved, and there were some things in my life that needed to change and stuff, and I just needed to make the relationship with the Lord mine. And from then on, the Lord never gave me any doubts again, and I just need to see the Lord, the way He worked things out. And God has been good to us in many different ways, and I always thought that I was going to go to Bible college. I was going to meet the right person for my life. I was going to go on deputation, and then I was going to go to the field right away. Well, the Lord had other plans, so I didn't have anybody when I graduated in my life. So I actually got a phone call from a family friend of ours. He's a missionary kid in Japan, and so the Lord used him, and he called me up, and he said, "Look, I know we've never met, but we know a lot about each other through these mutual friends." And so he said, "What are you doing, Bobby, after graduation?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure yet what I'm doing." So, and he goes, "Why don't you come over here to my house, and I'll have somebody give you a tour of the company, and then you can go to my house. My wife will be there with the girls, and I'll be back on Saturday, and we can talk." I said, "Okay." So we did that, and so he came back, and he said, "What did you think?" I said, "Well, considering that you're one of the vice presidents of the company," I said, "everybody treated me very well, as expected." I said, "I don't know what your plans are." I said, he goes, "I don't know either." He goes, "Give me a couple months." He goes, "And we'll figure it out. I'll create a job for you. And then you can come work for me. And then you'll be your own man. If you need help, you let me know. But otherwise, you know, you'll be fine. I said, okay. So then we're going to church on Sunday, and he goes, how do you guys pay for your trips when you go back home? So, well, you know, we typically just get some money and pay for that. And then once we get down there, my parents pay for our expenses when we're down there. He goes, well, you know, I'm going to give you guys some stock from our company, and then that'll be enough to pay for your ticket and some money, extra money to be there. And then when you come back from the summer, you let me know. I said, okay. So in the meantime, I knew conceptually what stocks were. I didn't know what to do with them. I was just like, well, how do I get money out of this piece of paper? And so I actually ended up contacting somebody that didn't know what to do with that, and the stock split. So I ended up getting double of the money that I was intended to get for that. So the Lord was good even then. And so I told Brian, I said, look, I feel the Lord's calling me to the mission field. So whenever I see my way open for that, I'll let you know, and that would be that. So yeah, no problem. So I only thought I was going to be there a year or two. Well, ended up working there for 10 years, but the Lord did many different things, and then the Lord used Andy and Colette Thompson. We were good friends in college, but he was a missionary kid from Chile, and so he thought the Lord was leaning there, and I thought the Lord wanted me back in Uruguay. So I said, well, until you get your heart right, I said, we're not going to work together until... So he called me up a couple of years later and said, look, Bobby, he goes, my wife and I are in Uruguay as missionaries, so do you still want to come with us? I said, sure. So then I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do about raising support and working all at the same time and everything? And so I talked to my pastor, and I said, look, how am I going to do all this? He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, just let me know what your schedule is. And I said, I'll make sure somebody from our deacons, somebody goes with you wherever you need to go. And they'll help you set up whatever you need to set up. And you just worry about getting the meetings. I said, okay. A year and a half later, I said, okay, I'm done. And I packed all my stuff, and I went to the field. And then the Lord, the first church that I was assigned to in Colonia, that's where I met Nadia. At that time, she was small. She was 14. She was a spoiled brat. And, but I became good friends with her dad. Her dad was like the treasurer of the church, and we would work together in many different ways and stuff. And then I was there for 4 years, and then I left to come back on furlough. And when I came back, I was assigned to a different church. So then after a while, we got reacquainted back at camp and stuff. And by then, she was a young lady. And so then we started dating, and the Lord just brought us together. And then we had to go through the whole process of her getting accepted through the mission and different things. So, you know, the Lord had her waiting for me for a long time there. But at the same time, you know, His timing is always best, and it's exciting to see how the Lord has brought us together. And now we're excited about working with Mariano and Becky, and seeing what the Lord will do. I've been blessed that the Lord has always given me the opportunity of talking with people, especially, I think, because of my physical limitations. People have a tendency to open up more. So that's why I majored in church ministries, and I minored in counseling, because I always wanted to be ready to help. And so that's what we're going to do, Lord willing, when we go to Carmelo. I'm going to be focusing on the youth group and also on visitation and counseling. And obviously we're going to alternate preaching responsibilities as well. So we're looking forward to what the Lord will do with that. And we're excited about it, and we thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. And we're available. We'll be here all day, so if we can help you in any way, we would love to be able to encourage you along the way as well. So let's finish up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for your love for us, and We thank you that you take us exactly where we are, and you make no excuses for us, and you give us exactly what we need. You equip us, because when you call, you also provide for us, and you equip us with the right tools so that we're able to serve you in the right way. And so we pray that you would encourage our hearts, and that you'd help us to understand that we can all be used by you in many different ways. So guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.